Hello, this is Chris Bowen. I'm a developer evangelist at Microsoft, and thanks for joining for today's webcast on tiles and notifications for your Metro-style Windows 8 applications. Would encourage you to reach out to me if you have any questions you think of after the event, if you're watching this after the live recording. I'm C. Bowen at Microsoft, and you can find related articles and things on my blog as well, and contact me through that as well. So let's just dive right in. And today we're going to be talking about tiles and notifications and ways to work with them to really bring life to your applications and differentiate them in Windows 8. We'll begin by looking at the basics of tiles, what we can do by default, and then we'll really turn things on and go take advantage of the platform itself by using live tiles. We'll talk about what we can do with those and the various options that we have as developers and designers for taking advantage of that feature of the platform. And then we'll talk about toast notifications, ways to let your user know what's happening through your application in cases it doesn't actually have to be running to receive this notification. We'll see how to do that as well. Basically going to walk away from this with an understanding of ways to use tiles notifications to really advertise your application and to encourage users to click on an application and use it. So really bringing it front and center, making it an attractive thing for a user to click on, and they feel very satisfied with the information they're getting from the application. And also, we'll take a quick look at the Windows Push Notification Service as well. This is a cloud-based option that we can use to send notifications back to our applications and have them notify the user of important things that have happened, even if your application is not running. So that said, let's take a look here. I mentioned this before, and I want to really describe what we're talking about here. I said alive with activity using tiles and notifications. The idea really is we want to go beyond what we can do with static icons on a desktop, something that just makes you wonder what's going on inside that application. If it's never actually telling you anything, it's not as useful as an application that is really providing you with information that you care about. So, for example, number of messages that you've missed from somebody, there's email that you want to read, or updates to your favorite news site. An application can convey this information to you by both updating its tile and through notifying you of key events through toast notifications that we'll see in just a little while. But let's begin by taking a look at the start screen in Windows 8, and I'll show you some of these tiles in action. Let me switch over to the start screen here. What you can see, everything that we see on this desktop here is a live tile. It's a tile that we can use to click on to actually launch an application or switch to an existing one, a running one. It could be a person, it could be a site, it could be a lot of different things. It's really up to the user to define and really to lay things out on this start screen. So you can also notice that a few of these different tiles are updating. You can see that they're actually drawing your eye to them, and you can see that information is now flowing in. I can get an update from something. I could see, for example, that news information is coming to me through a few applications. There are some updates that are occurring for my schedule, for weather information. For example, it happens to be a little drizzly and rainy up here in Boston. And for example, I really wanted to show you the options that a user has with a live tile. So if I right-click or just swipe to select on the touch machine, you can see I have a few options at the bottom here with the app bar. That'll pop up automatically, and it lets the user be in control. Now, the user can, of course, move tiles around everywhere they want. They can decide that they want to remove the tile entirely. So these are all the options you can see at the bottom here for an application that's supporting a live tile. I could make this a smaller tile, so I'll actually choose that. You can see here that now the weather application is using a smaller tile. It's the same information. We're getting an update through this live update about what's going on in Boston, but it's only doing this in the square size. Up to the user to change between these things, and I can make that larger again. We'll see where that comes into play in just a little bit when we talk about the developer side of things. The other thing they can choose to do is, of course, unpin it from start. And this is important because not only are they that are choosing to remove it from the start screen, but they aren't removing it from their system. So they could still choose to run it. They could find your application in many other ways, through contracts, through searching for it, but they're not giving it a prominent location on the start screen. These are all things we have to factor in as we design our interactions through tiles and notifications. Now, of course, they could take out the sledgehammer as well, and they could uninstall the application as well in addition. This is something you have to be aware of. So as we talk about the technology and the opportunity that tiles and notifications offer us, you want to make sure that you're applying it in a way that's beneficial to the user, because ultimately they have the final say. They can give you a bad review, they can uninstall your app, they can turn off notifications, they can make a live tile turn into a static tile, essentially turning off notifications. So these are things you want to be careful of. Let's go back into where we were before. And let's dive into tiles at the basic level. Let's begin by taking a look at the default experience for your applications. When you create an application in Visual Studio or Expression in Blend, you can create basically a default tile using what you see here below. It is a square tile or a wide tile. Really, you can use an image, maybe it's your brand's image or a default image for your application identifier, and create your basic tile experience that way. Now again, they can use this to launch your application or switch to it if they've already been running it. And this is all specified in the application manifest, and you'll see this in Visual Studio. You can double click on the manifest. It gives you a nice interface that you can use to set up what image you want to use for the logo, and also some information around the title to display and some other things as well. Now, both sizes can support live updates. For example, something like this. Being able to bring in some new information for a user to see, make it alive with activity. Now, this brings us into the next phase of dealing with tiles, of really standing out. Now, you can, of course, stick with the default tile, and if your application really doesn't have a lot of need for what I'm talking about in terms of live tiles, you can certainly consider staying with this. But if your application does have a way to update the user and provide them with dynamic information, really attract them back into the application, this really is your front door, and you want to do your best to encourage people to open it and to go back into the application and be happy with the experience. And so that's going to lead us into talking about live tiles. Now, live tiles, we have a number of different options here, and I'll go through each of these in detail for you. But the tiles are updated using a catalog of predefined templates. And you choose between these, and there's a wide variety of options that we'll get to in just a moment. But we take the work of creating these tiles on for you, so you're not spending your time generating these, compositing images and text together, and doing a lot of work to make sure it's going to look good in different resolutions, different pixel densities. It's not something you have to worry about. Really, as a developer, you supply some data, do some binding, and let Windows do the rest. You can also support various ways of conveying information to the user, whether that's through text only or through images, the last image that was taken with your camera application, for example, or photos that have been updated on your site, to text about information about scores or finance or things like that that you want to convey back to the user, or some combination of that. Now, for performance purposes, it's focused on using JPEG and pings only with a maximum size of 150K. And you can optionally turn on what's called the peak animation that will help bring some visual interest as you switch between various tiles, different views within your tile. You also have options in terms of using local code to execute these updates to your tiles, or, as we mentioned quickly before, turning to the cloud and letting a remote service update this tile even if it's not running, even if the application is not running. You can provide updated information for the user and perhaps encourage them to launch the application again to take a look at what's new. Now, here are a few of the examples, the templates that you can use for creating a live tile. You can see there's a wide variety of options here, and the nice thing is you just select the ones that you want, you supply a little bit of information to do the binding, and Windows will take care of the rest for you. It will take your text, it'll take your images, it'll take various other things that we'll talk about in a moment, and basically composite that all together for you and display that for the user. So the concerns for us are really around which template do I want to use, and then providing that information for the user. So let's walk through a few of these. We don't have time to go through all of them, but let's begin at the beginning here. Now, first, this is called a full bleed or a single image layout, and you can basically imagine a number of different scenarios for this. I think I mentioned before, if you had a camera application, the very last picture I had taken could automatically be updated and displayed on that live tile for the application. Moving ahead, there's other templates as well, so I could have a mosaic of a variety of different pictures that I could choose from. And this is great for maybe a gallery, a photo gallery, a social media application that's trying to encourage the user to check things out. You know, here's some pictures that your friends have posted. Take a look, and really encouraging them to be interacting with your application. And then below that, we have a combination of both an image and some text at the bottom of the tile as well. Again, it's not something you have to worry about compositing together. You supply the information, you choose the template, and Windows will craft that for you, not only across different pixel densities, but there's also support in there for globalization and localization as well. And of course, all of these, we have options for enabling animation. So this peak animation really draws the eye in a nice, smooth way, and it can let people know that there's something new, something to look at, something that your application is trying to update them about. Again, the front door, you want to decorate it well, make sure that users understand that there's, you know, there's things going on. The other important thing about looking at the designs here is you really don't want to bombard the user with extraneous information. It should be stuff they care about, stuff that will, in fact, in many cases, help them understand whether or not they should launch the application. Show them there's something interesting. Show them there's something new, and they'll come back into your application and use it and be satisfied with that. If you do other things, like really spamming them with things that they don't care about, or going against design guidelines, which would be like, you know, we don't want to do advertisements and things like that from these, because clearly that's not something that users are going to request or want to see. So they're going to go and do those things I mentioned before. They're maybe turn off notifications, they'll turn off the live tile, they'll unpin it from their start screen, or, you know, ultimately they could just remove the application entirely and try to find a different one that's similar. So these are all options for us. In fact, I could show these to you. Let's go into a little bit of code, and I'll switch out here to Visual Studio. Before I do, I wanted to point out a great place to start to get an understanding of what these different templates are. If you just go up to the MSDN site, and I have links that'll get you up to here, basically dev.windows.com, search in here. You'll actually see in the sample code that I have for you in a moment, there's something called the tile template type enumeration. And there's a lot of different templates in this, and you choose between them. I really like this page because it shows you each of them in detail. I'll scroll slowly so we can see this over the webcast. But you can get an idea. Not only do we have square templates that we can use, if I scroll down a little farther, you can see there are wide versions of these as well. And so choose the right one for the information you want to convey, images, text, whatever that may be, and then you'll know which of these enumerations to choose. Now, this is a useful page if you happen to know the name tile template type, but there's also a choosing a tile template link right here. Let me open that for us right now, and you can see this is a little bit more of a catalog, essentially, of the different templates. I would encourage you to take a look at this first. Look at these, and we'll get into the coding in just a second here, but I want to point out one thing in particular. You look at these various templates, and you see the example picture, and right below it, there's some XML. Well, really, as a developer, that's all we're doing. We're creating an XML document and letting Windows turn that into the binding and ultimately into the tile that we'll be displaying for the user. So the code that we write is focused on creating and setting these various elements and attributes and letting Windows run with the rest of it. So I'd encourage you to take a look at those before you get started. And let's go take a look at some code to begin. Now, this code that I'm showing you is actually from the SDK. So you can go to another one of the links I'll have at the end of the session is a place to go to get the entire set of SDK samples. One of them is for working with tiles. And I happen to have the JavaScript version of this. There's other versions as well there, so C#, Visual Basic, etc. Download what you're comfortable with and walk through this example at your own pace. I just wanted to point out to you the moving parts. But before I do that, let me run it so we can actually see what this application will do for us. And we'll see, this is actually one of the SDK samples, so you'll see that as a splash screen here. and then we'll see the application. Now, before I actually choose any of these options here, I want to quickly show you what the application looks like as a tile. Over here on the right-hand side of my screen, you see the Windows SDK sample right there. It's the wide tile, and it says tile.js. That's the default tile for this application. We haven't done anything really special with it. There's a basic image there and an application name. We'll go back into the application. In fact, I can click on that to go to my already running application. And we can look at the various options. There's quite a few things that we can do through this sample. Don't have time to go through all of them, but let's talk about the important things here. So I can say, send tile notification with text. So I'll go ahead and click this. So we're going to send a notification to our existing tile on that start menu, the start screen. You can see right below that, the output is the XML that I had mentioned before. And I'll show you the code that was used to create this, but there's not really a lot that you have to understand by looking at this. The templates that we've chosen are specified in here, and then the text that we're sending is right part of that XML document that is then used to construct this notification back to our tile. So let's go back out here. Hopefully you can see this. There's our tile now has an update saying, hello world, my very own tile notification. No, things are great. There we go. Our very first basic update to a tile, bringing it to life. If I go back into the application, I'll show you the code for that in just a second. Just wanted to show you a couple of other options as well, and then we'll dive into some code here. So there's various things. Again, you can walk through these at your own pace. We can use images with your tile as well. So I'll send this down. You can see the XML is here. Again, we're binding with a certain template. Again, this would have to be one that supports images. And then the value that we're passing in after that is just pointing to the image. In this case, it's from our actual application. And I can just bind that in, and you can see it back here. So let's go back out to the screen, and I'll show that to you. So you can see now a notification hit. It's refreshing. There's our template. The template used both text and image. So the image itself is very simply just a block of red. There's nothing terribly fancy about it. But there's our notification. Now, another thing I should point out, it's very important as we do development, is that you'll want to write your updates, your notifications, in a way that supports the user, whether they've chosen a wide or a square tile. So let me show this to you. If I click this tile, bring up the app bar, and I choose to make this smaller, you see what actually happens here. We're going to the other part of that binding. In this case, it's to a gray image with no text. It was a different template that was chosen, doesn't support text, and we just have a gray block that's being shown here. This is important because it's not up to you as a developer what the user chooses to see on their screen. You can support these various options, but the user can then ultimately decide between them. And so when you send an update, when you send a notification to your tile, make sure that you're accounting for the various scenarios that the user could have chosen. So let's go back into code here, and I'll actually quit out of this and go into our code and show you what's going on here. Now there's a helper project in here that's part of the SDK. It's just a C# project. It's very, very simple, actually. You can see it's notifications, extensions. It's a part of the project, and it's all documented here in the text, in the comments here in the text. Really, all it's doing is just helping you with the XML. And again, we're building up an XML document, and we're sending it into the notification infrastructure for it to take care of the rest. The things that we want to do here are, on line 30, you can see here, I'm really just choosing between the various templates that we've already seen before on that website. So I can say I want tile wide text 3, and then I go ahead and then supply the various options into that. For example, the text of hello world, my very own tile notification. And then importantly, we continue on supporting the square mode as well. That was for the wide view. If you look a little bit lower on the page, you can see we're creating square tile content from yet a different template. So in this case, tile square text 04. This one is a different one, and it's going to say, well, here's my notification, and we're attaching it on line 44 right there, we're going to say, okay, we've now got our square tile content. We've set up the XML in the right way. Let's go ahead and combine that with our original one. And then we're pretty much all set. Now all we do is tell Windows about this. Oh, excuse me, I scrolled and I didn't mean to. We tell Windows about this. And there we are. We go ahead and say notification extensions. Go ahead and create, I'm in the wrong place. Scroll down a little bit farther for us. There we go. We go ahead and tell it to create that tile updater for the application. This seems like a lot of code, but it's very, very, it's the standard stuff you're going to be doing. You're working through a tile update manager. You're telling it you want to create an update for the application. And then what do you want to do with that? I want to update it. And I'm going to send in that, essentially, the XML turned into an instance of a notification. And that, in a nutshell, is really all that's involved with creating a notification through a live tile. Everything else is just a variation of that same theme. We chose to use an image for another one. Well, the difference in that case is just specifying the image source, whether it's something that's part of the distribution, the installation package, using the appX itself, or we could go and get it from local storage, however the application wants to do that, even from online resources as well. And in fact, if we go back and run the application, I'll show you the various other options that are supported here. Okay, and we're back here in the application. We did the first two, and if you look a bit farther down, we can create updates to our tiles with web images. So if you have external images hosted outside the application, yes, you could use those. There's also another concept that you saw on the category on the slide that showed you a number of different tiles by example, a concept of badging. And this is important because it lets you give a status update to the user in terms of maybe the what's going on with playing media, how many of a particular item are pending interest or pending review by the user. So I'm going to go ahead and run this for us. I'll say send badge notification. And we can choose from a number or a glyph. A glyph is just an icon. And you can see here there's a variety of different ones that we can choose from. There's an enumeration that we can use to specify these things like pause, playing, available. These are things that could be overlaid for you on that live tile to indicate status to the user. We can also use a number. And this is a fairly common thing to do. You say you've missed 5 email messages, or there's a couple of new news articles that are of interest to you. You can very easily do this using the same code that we showed you before. We're just putting in a different part into the XML. Here, a number can be from 1 to 99. So I'll put in just some number here, and I'll say send badge notification. This is the output for that. That's all the XML that we needed for that particular part of the tile notification. We're just saying the value is 44. If I go back over to that tile, now you can see it right here that we have a separate segment of that live tile has been updated with that number 44. If I had chosen a glyph, the start, some kind of start or playing, other kind of icon to show, it would appear there. And this is important. You want to look at other applications, get a feel for how you can compose together different scenarios, and really turn those to the advantage of the user and the experience for the user. I also wanted to point out a couple of other things down here, too. We don't have as much time to go through these as I would like, but I will point out that they're here, and I want you to take some time to understand what they're doing for you. We're going to talk about notification cycling in just a second, but just so I don't have to switch back and show this to you again, this is where you can go to specify that if you have more than one notification being sent to an application's live tile, you can turn on what's called notification queue, and this is going to show those updates from over the last 5 updates for that application. And we can turn that on. And the important part about this particular example is that the second part here, tags. This is a very powerful concept. If you're scrolling through multiple notifications to a user on that live tile, you'll want to be able to control how those are replaced as new ones come in. So let's say you have notifications for a particular type of news like technology, or for a particular stock ticker, or for a particular city And you want those updates to be maintained separately, so they're not clobbered and forgotten about as new ones come in. You can use a tag, and this is pretty easy to do. You just type in a tag, we'll say, you know, our city. We can type in Boston, and you know, say send notification with tag. The next time I send a notification with that same tag, it's going to overwrite that last update and use that slot within the notification queue. Okay, it's a very powerful concept. I want to make sure you knew about that as well. There's a lot of other options here that you have a lot of power as a developer, and I would encourage you to take a look at this SDK sample in some detail. But let's move ahead. And I did promise to talk about the next thing here, which was, let me get back to my presentation, the idea of notification queuing. It's a little bit easier to understand when you see it animated here. By default, in applications, live tile is only going to show the last notification you send to it. So in this case, the left one has received a text-only update, has got a badge there, and it's basically saying, you know, here's the last email you've received. That may be fine for many applications, but in some cases, you'll want to opt in and turn the enable the application to cycle through the last five notifications. This is really easy to do. It's very, very simple. And what actually happens then is you can now scroll through these. And Windows takes care of this for you. You don't have to write the code to do the paging and all of that. Basically, you just send the notifications and let Windows take care of the rest. So the user can then look at these things and then click on something to go back into your application. By default, again, that will not happen. You turn that on. And just to make sure you think things through about this, notifications can last for, you know, a while. It can last for days. So if you are sending, say, five notifications over the course of 5 days, you want to make sure that if you are cycling through those, that all of them are still relevant, that they aren't time sensitive. For example, like today's product that's on sale at our site. Well, that's really only useful for 1 day. And if I only update that once per day, the user's not going to be satisfied with that because they're going to click on something thinking that something's on sale, and it no longer is because they're potentially seeing this, you know, 2 to 5, you know, other days past the origination of that notification. So keep that in mind. It's very, very useful in many scenarios, but just keep in mind that these can stick around, and the timeliness is something that you want to make sure makes sense for your application. Okay, the next thing to talk about is secondary tiles. And the idea behind this is your applications have a lot of information that could be really contextually interesting to the user. For example, you're seeing here the weather application, and you're seeing the finance application as well. I have multiple cities set up, and maybe I want to see the weather for a couple of cities at the same time and have them on my screen at the same time. And I can see what's going on in Redmond. I can see what's going on, you know, here in Boston. Being able to do this is using something called secondary tile pinning. And the great news for us is it's really the same developer experience. We've walked through this already. You saw how to do this with the first example. And it's using a lot of the same constructs and concepts to create this. Now, a few things you should understand about this. The pinning itself is initiated by something that we do as developers, but the user has to confirm it. So the user says, yep, that's the one I want. Maybe I'll give it a particular name, and then they'll confirm that. Then it will appear on their start screen. The user can cancel out of that, and you have to be prepared for that possibility as well. But it's up to them, and it always is up to them. But what it does is it provides them a tile that can be updated separately. So I can send only, for example, Redmond weather updates to that secondary pinned tile. And I have ways of tracking that back in the application. So I can know, oh, they have pinned a secondary tile pointing at Redmond, Washington. So I can then say, well, let's go ahead and update that tile if Redmond's weather has changed. The other thing is that if I click on this, one of these secondary tiles, I can send information back to the application saying, you've been activated, and here's some information about how you were activated. The user clicked on that Redmond secondary tile. So what they're going to expect is that your application is going to really zoom them into the information that's relevant for whatever they clicked on. The Dow, information on the Dow, they click on the finance secondary tile. Right to the Redmond, Washington weather page for the weather secondary tile. So keep this in mind. that launch will lead them right into relevant content, and that's something you have some very good control over. You can specify how the application reacts by embedding some data in that secondary tile to help you make that connection. So let's go ahead and take a look at the code for doing an example of the secondary tile pinning. So I'll bring up this is another sample from the SDK, so you can go and download this one as well. Again, a JavaScript example here. I'll walk through a couple of things after I show you what's going on. So I'm going to run this, and then we'll walk through the code that was executed to make this happen. Give it one more second. Okay. There we go. So the first thing I can do is pin my tile, and I can pin the secondary tile. You may have already noticed that this application, this secondary tiles SDK sample, already has a square tile on my desk, on my start menu. That's not what we're going to work with in this particular example. I want to pin secondary ones related to the main application. So I can do that. And this first option right here is pretty straightforward. I'm going to pin the tile. Now notice what happens when I click on the button. The UI has now presented us with a dialog. This is called a flyout. And we have some control over what's being displayed to the user, but Windows ultimately has to display this to the user because the user is in charge. So the user must agree to this, and the user has the option to override what we suggest, what we have suggested here. So I have some title texts, and there we go. I can override that, and then I can either cancel. If I just click anywhere, it's a light dismiss tile. You'll see that that flyout was dismissed. Secondary tile was not pinned. But if I click it again, and then I just say fine, let's go ahead and pin this. Secondary tile was pinned, so we can detect that. If we look back on the start screen, you'll see there's a secondary tile here. And with that information that the user accepted, they could have changed that as well. Now I can click on this, and I'll show you the code for how this works as well. If I click back on this tile, the secondary tile SDK sample, that goes to the main application. There's really no context for that. It's just going to be the main entry point to the application. The secondary tile should have some context that your application knows how to deal with, so I'll click on that. And now we can see here, look, at the bottom here it says, app was activated from a secondary tile with the following arguments. Time tile was pinned, and here's the date time. That's very easy to do. I'll show you the code for that in just a second, but it's an important way for you as an application developer to tie together these various things. So if you have a category of products and you want a user to be able to pin that, or a particular recipe or a particular product or whatever it may be, you can pin that, embed a little bit of information in there, so when they click on it, you can bring them right to that information, right to that experience that they care about. So let's take a look at the code here. Go back into Visual Studio, and we'll stop the application. And a couple things to point out here. This first item here is the response to that very first scenario, when as did the simple pin of a secondary tile. It's actually using a bit of a custom override here. We're saying pin by element, and the only reason it's doing this, sorry for the scroll there, you can see this first argument is actually just getting the element that was clipped that would cause the pinning to occur. This is a nice thing to do for the user. You want to pop up the flyout as close to where the user had their attention to begin with. So I click on that button. I'd like the flyout to appear over the button so that the user knows, oh, okay, I see. This is flying up because of my clicking on that instead of maybe somewhere way off on the other side of the screen. So that said, we're going to go right to this definition here. Let me right-click and go to definition. And you can see here there's just a little bit of code here and a lot of comments to tell you what's going on. What we're going to do, we've been sent in the element that was clicked on and a couple other details about what we want to display to the user. The first things that we need to do are to collect our logos. The first one you see on line 19 is the primary logo. It's the image that you'll see on the tile. And in this case, you see the MS-APX. That just means it's an embedded image that's part of the installation of the application. The next one isn't seen directly on that tile. It's actually used in other places. So you'll see the small logo, perhaps in search results, perhaps on the all applications view when you're scrolling through everything that's available on the system. that's another place where that logo can appear. But the primary one for our tile is that very first one there. The other thing that we're doing, and this is totally up to you, of course, are these lines of code here. We're just setting up a bit of context that we're going to embed into that secondary tile so that when the user clicks on it, we're going to get that context back, and we'll know, we'll have a better understanding of where they want to go. In this case, it's just a demo, and it's basically just saying, we'll put the current time here and display that back on the screen when the user clicks on it as a secondary tile. But in your apps, you're definitely going to want to pin embed the information around what category it is, what product was pinned, maybe what city or whatever, a stock ticker, sports teams, whatever. Put that into the activation arguments, and the rest will be taken care of for you. That next line of code bundles everything up together, and we can pass in a few things. The tile ID, the short name that will be displayed on tile, the tile display name that essentially is the tooltip for a live tile. You might have noticed when I was back on the start menu, hovering over things, you would see a tooltip. That's that text right there. That's where it will appear. The very first argument is totally up to you, of course. It's how you want to identify it. You'll also get that back. So yeah, I could say, you know, my app, city tile, city secondary tile, and I can use that to recognize in the application what I should be doing in response to a click. And the other arguments we've already seen, it's the date time that we collected above, so the new tile activation arguments, and some other options as well. Do you want to show the name on the logo and then the URI to the logos from above? All those are bundled up for you. Really, our work is to compile the information together and send it into this secondary tile of the start screen namespace and then the secondary tile method here. And that's going to create that through a constructor, and it's going to allow us to then display it on the screen. You can also set some various other things as well. On line 38, we're going to set the foreground text based on whether we think the contrast will be better against a light background or a dark background. So there's your choice there as well. Now, the tricky part at the bottom here, and it gets back to the reason why we passed in that original element in the first place. You can see it here. We are now creating the request asynchronously on line 52. You see this. The reason we're doing this asynchronously is because the user has to interact with it. The flyout will be invoked, and the user will make their choice. They'll maybe change the text and then either accept or reject the pinning of that secondary tile. The fact that that's occurring over, you know, maybe many seconds or so means that we should do it asynchronously, and that means our application will remain responsive and react to other things that are going on instead of locking up waiting for that flyout to go away. And the very simple results here are that we're going to call it, and then when it's done, we're going to get called back. We can then find out if the secondary tile was created or not. It's a simple Boolean. If it was, then we'll just, in this case, display the status that it was done or not. And that's really all there is to it. The same things that we've seen before in terms of working with them really do apply here. So the other thing to really point out just very quickly is a little bit toward the bottom here. Hopefully I can find it. There we go. I would encourage you to take a look through this as well. Really, it's just the way that the application receives the activation. So when you click on that secondary tile, the application gets woken up or is notified if it already is running, and it says basically here on line 424, you've been activated because there's a launch that occurred. At that point, it's simply saying, did I get any arguments? And if I didn't, well, it's probably just an initial launch. If I did, then let's check it out. Let's take a look. Maybe I got some arguments passed from a secondary tile being clicked, and then I can use that to navigate for the user right to the information that they care about. Okay, so let's push ahead here back into our slides. That was secondary tiles. And let's talk about another way to really bring things to life. We want to be alive with activity. Toast notifications go beyond what we do through updating live tiles. You've already seen with live tiles that the application can update that tile with information that's useful to the user. A toast notification can be used to indicate there's something interesting going on, even if the application isn't necessarily running. And so the user could be doing something else, and maybe an approval went through, or there's an urgent message, or something was installed, or something that's pretty important to let the user know about. If the application's not running, or they're not looking at their live tile, you know, that's maybe not good enough to get their full attention. So we can turn to toast notifications as a way to really bring that forward. The user gets a chance to look at that, they can dismiss it, or they can click right on it and accept notification and go right into your application and work with whatever it is you're trying to make them aware of. So a lot of different scenarios that we can support here. Ultimately, though, just like everything else we talked about before, the user is in control. So really only do things that you would expect they would want. And don't pester them. Don't just update them with things that could easily have gone onto a live tile. Things that aren't critical, things that are just, you know, information. There's a new RSS article to read. Well, that's probably not a notification. That's probably just, you know, updating a counter on the badge of your live tile for your RSS reading application. Something a little less interrupting for the user's experience. But keep this in mind. It does allow quick navigation to go right to the application. I click on the toast, I can go right to the part of the application that will show me more about whatever it is I was trying to convey to the user. The final thing to note is that toast notifications are actually very easy to invoke right from your app and from the cloud as well. In fact, we have three options, and we'll get to the third option in just a little bit. Locally on your own system, the application, when it's running, can actually pop up a toast notification. You can also, as a secondary option, schedule a toast notification. I can say, this will occur at some point in the future, even if my app is no longer running. And finally, using the cloud, I could have an update come into my system that notifies me of something interesting, and the application does not have to be running, although the user may choose to click on that notification and go right into your application. So being very smart about how you use these notifications really improves the usability and ultimately the satisfaction that a user will have with your application. Now, we're basically reaping the benefits of the things that we've already heard before. These are going to look very familiar to you because it's the same architecture. This is great because you've already seen in Live Tiles how you can choose between different templates that give you a nice, easy way to use images and text to create that, to convey the information that you want. Again, letting Windows take care of the composition, of rendering it appropriately for you, ensuring that it will look great, and the timing and the display of all of that. Really, all we have to worry about is sending the information and letting Windows pop that up as a toast. So again, here are the templates. If you go back, I'll actually show this to you in a moment. There's another catalog that you can look at. If you take a look at the enumeration for toast templates through the developer site, you can see here there's another catalog available to you of all the different templates that we can choose from for using for toasts. So again, same story. We're going to create some XML. We're going to pass it. We're going to basically choose a template. We're going to get the XML. We're going to attach our properties and elements to that, and then send it off to Windows and let Windows compose things together for us and ultimately notify the user. So let's take a look at the code for this and bring up the toast sample. Again, another example that you can download even as we speak and take a look at. This is the toast sample. So I'm going to run this and show you what it does, and then, just like we did before, dive back into the code and show you what's happening to make that possible. Okay, give it a sec to launch. And here we go. So there's a few different scenarios. Again, we don't have time to go through all of them, but there's some very basic ones. Creating a text-only toast. So these are really just focused on using those templates, which we've already seen from before. I can click on these, and when I do, you can see the toast will pop up in the top right-hand corner, and there's the text, there's the template that we chose, and importantly, the user has a few different options at this point. They can ignore it, of course, and after a few seconds, it's going to go away. They can click on it, which is called accepting the toast, and that could bring them back into your application right to the point where that toast is related. And they can also swipe or dismiss the application. On a touch screen, they can just swipe from right to left, swipe it off the screen. If you have a mouse, you can click on the X, and that will dismiss it. And these are three different options that you should be aware of. We can get access to that information as a developer. It's very easy. You can get those that information back and find out, did the user select it, did they accept it, did they reject it, did they let it time out, maybe they never even saw it, and react accordingly. And you can try different toasts, and as you queue up multiple toasts, Windows will basically stack them up and show them in a way that doesn't overwhelm the user. So hopefully you can see this through the webcast. Three appeared, then as they disappeared, the new ones came in after that. And again, I can dismiss, I can accept clicking on one, and it's totally up to the user. There's various other templates as well with images, etc. This is the same story that we saw before in Live Tiles. So your knowledge from that is going to be very, very helpful here. It's the same stuff. Again, just to point out the differences in how toasts can be responded to, I can display a toast, I can click on it, and this example here, example 5, scenario 5, if you're looking through the code, it's saying, oh, you clicked on the toast, and here are the parameters for it. I can display it and make it go away. The user has dismissed it, and then I can wait for it to disappear as well. So again, this is a really important way to connect with your users, but with this kind of, I would say great power is great responsibility. Basically, you're saying it's something that's going to pop up whether the user is running the application or not. So make sure it's something they care about, because I can always go into an application and go into settings and tell it that it can no longer send me notifications. So they can have turned it off completely, and now your application is less able to communicate because you haven't done it in a way that made them happy to begin with. So keep this in mind. It's a very important thing as you think about how to use this in your own applications. Let's go back into our slides here. Moving ahead, I just briefly want to talk about options with the cloud. There's a concept called Windows Notification Service, WNS, and the purpose of this is really to leverage the power of the cloud in a way that we can send both Tile and Toast notifications back to an application even if the application is not running. So if you have a service, you have some kind of other system that's running and processing data, and it has information that's important to the user, well, you can cycle that back to the application through either Tile updates. You can see right in line on the Tile that user could then choose to click on and go into the application, or by popping up a toast. Again, both sides use templates, both are using XML and binding to make that happen. It's your choice about which way you want to connect with the user. And the application could be running or it could not be running, and those notifications will be processed in either case. The Windows Notification Service handles all of that for you. It handles the communication back to the application. It's built for scaling, so this is going to scale up to millions of users, not something you have to worry about. Let Microsoft deal with this, and your application can just plug in and let all those instances of your many, many thousands and hopefully millions of users get those updates as interesting things happen for them in the application. It's also a free service that your application can use. Now, it's a little bit hard to understand from a few bullet points, so let me walk through a bit of an animation to show you what's going on here. On the left-hand side, we have our Metro-style application. In fact, the stuff in the green boxes are what we'll write. The stuff in the blue boxes are what Microsoft provides to us. And so our Metro-style app is running in Windows 8, and we want to enlist for to receive push notifications. So I'm saying it'd be great if this remote service could let me know when an approval went through or there's something that is pending my information that's pretty critical that I should look at right away. I can write that into my application. I can say, all right, I need to let the platform know that this is possible. So the very first thing I do is I use the notification client platform. It's just an API that you can use locally. And all you're doing is requesting what's called a channel URI. Think of this as a phone number that Windows Notification Service can call you back on. It's basically saying, here's the Tile, or here's the toast, giving you permission to write to this. So it's both a permission slip and a phone number, if you want to think of it that way. We get that back locally. It's an asynchronous call because it has to go out and actually get the ID for you. When you get that back, you now have that phone number permission slip that you then pass on to your cloud service. And there's no rules about this cloud service. It's anything that you connect to and convey this information securely with that cloud service. I'll talk about using Azure as an option for this, but in the meantime, it's this green box. You write it as you wish. And it receives this information. I'll talk about what that is in just a second. We then can have that cloud service speak with Windows Notification Service, basically saying, hi, here's who I am. I have the rights to be doing this. I will authenticate who I am with you. And when the time is right, when there's an update to be sent back to that particular user's tile, that notification, that toast, I'll let Windows Notification Service know. I'll pass in, and here's the interesting part, I'll pass in much the same stuff that I would have used locally. It's really XML, and the XML is defining the binding. It's saying, here's the image that I want to use, here's the text that I want to show, sending it off to Windows Notification Service with a couple of tokens to let it actually make that connection for you, and then the notification platform gets that and is able to display that to the user. Okay, the next thing to talk about is the portal that you can go to. I have a link for this. I'll go through it really quickly. Just go up to the managedev.live.com site, and you can provide some information to it. I'll show you in the next step here an easier way to get this information for you. Oops, I went backwards. My apologies for that. But you're going to put it in display name. You'll put in the publisher. Click through to that next step, and it's going to ask you for things that it's going to give you things that you can paste in for your application. Package name, client secrets, etc. And we'll use that as the permissions, though. Okay, sorry, I had to log into my other machine that I just timed out. Okay, so those are the things that you will need. And that's all great. You can definitely do that very simply through the portal. I wanted to point out another option for you as well. It's the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. This is a really useful toolkit. I would recommend that you take a look at it. I'll show you where to get it in a second. But first, let's talk about what Windows Azure can do in this particular model. Again, here's the structure of things. Our application signs up for things. And that cloud service that's there is what we own. Well, one of the great ways that we could create that service is through this Windows Azure Toolkit. And the reasons why it would be really helpful, your service needs to support a few things. Secure way for you to get that channel URI and that details up into it in a secure way. A way to store that information as well, and a way to store tile and toast images. Well, it turns out that's something that's really easy to do with Windows Azure. We can use an Azure Compute. We can use the Windows Azure Compute with a web role, which is going to provide us with full IIS support and easy ways to plug in, for example, WCF REST or ASP.NET, web forms or MVC, whatever it might be. I can plug that in, and the nice thing is I can also use Windows Azure Storage, which is, again, table storage is really a great choice for storing these channel URIs and text, and the blob storage is great for all those images that you would want to push through those notifications. Now, to show this to you, let's go back down to the desktop here, and I'll show you this. There's a Windows Azure Toolkit link. I've got the link for you in a couple more slides, but just do a search for the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. You can install this, and it's pretty amazing. It just walks you through the installation process. There's a variety of moving parts, and it takes care of installing all of that for you. At the end of the process, you'll get a nice couple of document templates that you can use in Visual Studio to get you up and running, creating a Metro-style app that has a Windows Azure based service that you can use for those cloud-based updates. I'd also recommend that you take a look at these videos at the bottom. This video at the top of the set here is a nice walkthrough. It just shows you the installation process, the execution process, and ultimately it running in about 4 minutes. So pretty cool. Don't have time to show that to you, but I would recommend that you take a look at that. Once you have it installed, you'll also have basically a local walkthrough of how to do this all for you. Just turned on block content, and it steps you through everything that you would need to know to set up Windows notifications, set up Azure, and get things running for your Metro-style application. Okay, so looking at the time here, we've got a little bit of time for questions, which is great. I wanted to get to a bit of a recap, and then we'll pause to look at what we have for questions here. So a bit of recap. Let's fast forward here. Really, I hope you've seen through the live tiles and through notifications, being able to do toasts, that we can go much more deeply than having a static presence on the user system. You can certainly do that. You can certainly have a simple square icon that has your branding on that, whatever you wish. But the options are there, and hopefully you've seen are fairly straightforward to bring those things to life. Send updates to your tiles and let them display information to the user as would be interesting to them. And use notifications to bring things to the fore with Toast and be able to encourage the user to come back into the application for something that's really important and something that they would care about. We can also use WNS, the Windows Notification Service, to allow a remote service to let the user know something's going on, even when the app isn't running. This is a fantastically powerful thing. So if you are doing any kinds of remote processing or things that would occur over time and don't, in those cases, can't rely on an application running locally, look to this because it's a very powerful thing, very easy to get going, and can scale up as your application grows. And finally, Windows Azure is a great fit for those remote services to be able to create the infrastructure quickly to host those services that could then work with WNS to then bring those Windows 8 applications to life. So I want to just pause on the screen for you to see some resources here. I'd encourage you to look through all of these. I'll actually go through questions at this point while I'm walking through these links here. This first link actually does work for release preview. As you know, we released the release preview a few days ago, but to be consistent with the rest of the recordings in this series, I really just went through and showed you all everything on a consumer preview build, but everything that I showed you obviously carries forward into the release preview. That link will bring you to the release preview stuff as well, as do the design and dev.windows.com. You can go there for links to like the categories, the catalogs for the different templates that we had. And I would also encourage, I didn't show this to you, but there's also a Windows Developer Camp in a Box. Sorry, I didn't have a shorter URL for that, but you can go ahead and copy that down or just search for Windows Developer Camp in a Box. You'll find that. That's resources, slides, samples, and hands-on labs for Windows Metro-style development. And this includes some of the things that I went through today. In fact, this very session is part of that kit. So if you download that, you'll see the slides that I used today. You'll see some samples. You'll see a hands-on lab that actually walks you through using tiles and notifications for a sample application. And I would highly recommend that you take some time to go through that in addition to those SDK samples that I showed you. The way to use Windows Notification Services is to go to manage.dev.live.com, set things up. It'll ask you for some information. Then you're good to go. And finally, that's Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows 8. So at this point, let me take a look at some questions here, and my screen has not timed out. I have a few minutes to take a look here. Let me see what we have here. Okay, we have some questions. I'm trying to find the relevant questions first. Give me one moment here. Okay. So let's start with the last question. Is the WNS service throttled as it is with, actually I didn't mention this. This is actually a good point. Thanks, Steve. The infrastructure that you're looking at with WNS, it should be very familiar if you've done anything on the Windows Phone side. It's very, very similar infrastructure. Can be used to update the Metro style applications that we have, the applications that you have running in a Windows Phone environment as well. So what I meant to say is you've seen Metro, and that Metro UX experience carries through into Windows Phone. It carries through into Windows 8. You see hints of it in things like Xbox Live in the Xbox console itself. So yes, there's a very they're very similar infrastructures for WNS for those. I actually don't happen to know offhand what the throttling is around WNS. I just haven't seen that. I haven't looked for it. But I plan to post a follow-up on my blog, and I'll make sure to mention that there for you. Let's see what else we have here. Some questions around store. If there's any other questions around the tiles notifications, I'll get to those first. And otherwise, we can wrap up, I would encourage you, if you have other questions, to just send me an email directly. I'm cbowen@microsoft.com. We'd be happy to answer those for you. Some things I can't really get into details on here. So it looks like I'll just, if there's no more questions coming in here, then we'll turn to wrap things up. And again, I'll encourage you to send me an email with any questions that you do have or things that you think about after this webcast. And that brings us to the end of the webcast. So thank you all very much for joining.